This is K.M. Weiland, and you are listening to the 509th episode of the Helping Writers Become Authors podcast. This episode of Helping Writers Become Authors is brought to you in partnership with Podtone. If you're a podcaster who's struggling or unsure about your recording quality, or if you need help editing, mixing, or mastering your podcast, you can visit the team who works with me every week at podtone.com or drop them an email at info@podtone.com to get started today. Other than trying to stay cool while keeping my first attempt at a garden weeded, I've been spending this month madly organizing my pile of notes for my fantasy manuscript. Thank heavens for Scrivener and its endless supply of folders and subfolders. But at the same time, curse you, Scrivener, because my file for this book has turned into a veritable labyrinth of crazy notes stuck here and stuck there. My brain was starting to overload, so I decided to take the time, several weeks as it's turned out, to sort through everything I've typed up so far before further organizing what I hadn't yet transcribed. So far, it's been a spring of note-keeping and transcribing, which is probably good since it's given me a little extra time for that weeding. And now I hope you enjoy, from someplace nice and cool, this week's episode, which is titled Using All Four Cognitive Functions as a Writer. My heart is so full as I write this. So many things going on in the world right now, both good and bad. It makes me reflect, not for the first time, on the tremendous gift given to writers in the simple fact that we have a place to put not just our feelings, but every other aspect of our cognitive experiences as humans. We often think of writing as an act of either imagination or logic. But because becoming a balanced writer is about nothing less than becoming a balanced human, it should be no surprise that the best writing makes use of everything. And specifically today, I'm thinking of everything as the cognitive functions in the Jungian sense. So most people are familiar with the Myers-Briggs system of personality typing, which was derived from C.G. Jung's theory of four cognitive functions: two perceiving, sensing, and intuition, and two judging, feeling and thinking, which he further divided into introverted and extroverted varieties. As someone who loves systems, patterns, and abstract theories, I've long found Jung's concept of cognitive functions to be helpful in understanding the way I think, and of course, the way I approach writing. All of Myers-Briggs nomenclature, I type as an INTJ, or someone who favors intuition and thinking as my go-to power plays. This means that for me, feeling and sensing are often neglected. I have spent many years working on better developing both of my weaker functions, not just for their own sakes, but because intuition and sensing, and thinking and feeling, form inherent polarities. One cannot operate without the other. Where my sensing is weak, there must be a corresponding weak spot in my intuition. Where my feeling is underdeveloped, there will be a blind spot in my thinking as well. Quite some time ago, Victoria Nelson tweeted me a request. She said, "I believe that you've mentioned that you're an INTJ, as I am. Do you ever find yourself caught in a perpetual NI, that is introverted intuition, phase, the joy of planning and outlining? I can build bigger and bigger plots and fantasy worlds forever. And if so, how do you force yourself out and into a TE, or extroverted thinking space?" This might make an interesting article if you think it would be widely interesting enough for others. Otherwise, I'm always trying to balance the two, not so successfully. Although I'm always keen to discuss cognitive functions, I never got around to this post mostly because I felt it might only be of interest to fellow INTJs. And even though INTJs are disproportionately represented amongst writers, we're still one of the least common personalities, supposedly making up only around 2% of the population. So if a podcast on specifically activating extroverted thinking to get stuff done sounds appealing, whether you're an INTJ or not, let me know, and if there's enough interest, we'll finally make that happen. That said, the more work I do on all my functions, the more pertinent I find their contributions to my creative life. So today I thought I'd share some thoughts on developing all four of your cognitive functions. And this is important no matter your type, no matter if you're into Jungian functions, and no matter if you have a clue or a care what Jungian functions are. So we're going to explore the four basic functions all humans use in perceiving, that is taking in information, and judging, that is activating and using that information. All four are crucial pieces in bringing to life stories of deep emotion, logic, verisimilitude, and vibrancy. Once we're skilled at identifying how they work within our experiences of life, we can also better use them to find exactly the right place to put our own personal experiences within our writing. So let me start with the disclaimer that although I'm a big fan of Jung's cognitive function theories, I often find the simplified approach of Myers-Briggs, and particularly its tests, to be a limited approach. That said, Myers-Briggs is a simplified entry point into the deeper understanding of the functions. So if all you know about Myers-Briggs is your letters, I would encourage looking deeper into an understanding of not just the four main functions, but particularly the nuances of their introverted and extroverted versions. However, for simplicity's sake, and to make the information more useful to those who may not be interested in personality typology, today I'm just going to be talking about the four functions as broad categories without further defining them as introverted or extroverted. So, function number one, intuition. Intuition encompasses many definitions, most of them abstract, which is appropriate since intuition is decidedly an abstract function. When we speak of a sixth sense or a gut instinct, we're often speaking of intuition. I believe it is also deeply integrated with imagination, particularly visual imagination, as we talked about a few weeks ago. It can also be a viscerally physical experience linked to emotions and feeling. For me, intuition, which is my dominant function, is inextricably linked to imagination, to the dream zoning I often talk about. I will sometimes say with delight that my head is haunted. I don't make things up. They just come to me, images, personalities, symbols, color, music, and light cobbled together like night dreams from my unconscious. So whether intuition is a natural strength for you or not, how can you further develop it to aid you in writing? Honestly, writing itself is a great intuitive exercise. Daydreaming, dream zoning, whatever you want to call it, is an intrinsically fun exercise for most writers. Start paying attention to the mental images and symbols that pop up for you, even when you're not actively using your imagination. Follow the pictures, see where they take you when they spontaneously move, and listen to your feelings, your physical reactions. When you get a zing or a shiver up your spine, usually means your intuition is signaling that you've found something. More than that, concentrate on identifying patterns. So you know the feeling you get when you just know something? That's your intuition identifying patterns before you're even conscious of them. This is the story sense most of us hone all our lives. Whether in regard to our own stories or someone else's, we often just know when something isn't working, even when we can't yet logically identify what it is. Learning to read your intuition and interpret its sublinguistic hints is tremendously powerful in helping you write stronger stories. Function number two, sensing. Sensing is the other half of the perceiving polarity, which means it necessarily works hand in hand with intuition. And yet, sensing is intuition's opposite. Whereas intuition is abstract, sensing is concrete. Whereas intuition is most accessible in dreams, sensing interfaces with the physical world. Now, at first glance, intuition might seem more useful to writers, but without a strong relationship with the senses, a writer's intuition will become ungrounded. It will lack the verisimilitude of real-world observations and understandings. The patterns we think we're identifying intuitively, or our instinctive knowing, will lack accuracy simply because it lacks sensual data. Now, as an INTJ, sensing is my weakest function, my baby function. Unlike people whose sensing is naturally more mature and developed, I've had to work hard to make sure I'm not over-relying on my intuition at my sensing's expense. And how do I do this? What I do is work on noticing. What do I see, smell, hear, touch, taste? What are people really saying versus the subtext I naturally want to intuit? Mindfulness and presence are wonderful tools, as is just about any kind of physical activity or new experience. It's so easy for writers to live entirely in our inner worlds. Not only are most of us naturally, quote unquote, head people, but we spend much of our time inside at our desks, seeing only what is on the screens and in our imaginations. In order for our intuition to create worlds out of nothing, we have to feed it gobs of sensory information. So go outside, get into your body, talk to people, exercise, eat, reach, listen, sniff, notice. Function number three, thinking. As a cognitive function, thinking specifically refers to how we may use a logical metric to interpret or judge the neutral information we've gathered via our perceiving functions of intuition and sensing. Thinking in this sense isn't so much the chatter in the front of our brains, which we commonly reference as thoughts. It's more the system through which we organize and validate information into what we consider sensible and actionable ideas. Now, writers often have a polarized relationship with thinking. On the one hand, we often consider ourselves thinkers, people who enjoy ideas, who are comfortable inside our own heads, and who pursue writing as the art of thinking clearly. And yet, writers can also grow frustrated with thinking when we view it as too orderly and logical to coexist with the chaotic freedom of true creativity. Still, skillful thinking is what allows writers to employ the principles of story theory and to communicate in ways universal enough to resonate with other humans. There are many ways to strengthen thinking, not least trying to write a coherent novel. Logically processing and mastering complex systems, such as story structure, not to mention employing the systemic and causal logic necessary to piece together any working plotline, is a fantastic way to strengthen your thinking. More than that, you can learn to analyze your own thoughts as a way of identifying your own metrics. This will allow you to increase your mental precision by strengthening those metrics that are truly logical while weeding out others that prove faulty or prone to unreasonable leaps. In observing your own thoughts, try to understand why you reach certain conclusions. Ask yourself, what facts brought you to this understanding? Where did you employ intuition? And how can you prove or disprove your own theories by seeking additional sensory or factual data? Debate yourself as rigorously as you would an ideological challenger. And function number four, feeling. Feeling is often misunderstood. When we discuss our feelings, we are often talking simply about our emotions or moods. And we often dismiss both as unworthy of making proper judgments about what we should think or do. But feeling goes much deeper, joining forces with our intuition to prompt a powerful and trustworthy, if sometimes unexplored and misunderstood, interpretation of ourselves and our experiences. As the partner of thinking in the judging polarity, feeling is in many ways generative of thought rather than the other way around. As someone who has repressed feeling for most of my life, in part perhaps because it is my third function as an INTJ, I continue to realize how out of touch I have become even with being aware of my own feelings sometimes. But I've also come to realize that the earlier I identify the cause of that sinking feeling in my stomach or my inner resistance to something, the less work my thinking then has to do to figure things out on the way to the right conclusion. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, the world is currently so full of feels. Probably no more than usual, but it sure seems unprecedented. As a result, I don't think it's just thinker types who are sometimes tempted to push away the feeling. But in rejecting overwhelming emotions and sensations, we not only ultimately reject the wonderful emotions as well, we also miss the opportunity to strengthen our ability to make our most powerful, truthful, and often empathetic decisions. As writers, feeling is deeply necessary if we are to write stories of emotional truth. Indeed, many of us come to the page as an opportunity for catharsis, a place to put our feeling when we don't know what else we can productively do with it. Via our characters, we have the opportunity to explore all our feelings, those that are mature, those that are immature, those that are celebrated, those that are unwanted, those that we long to manifest in our lives, and those that frighten us with their potential consequences. Story creates for us a simulation in which we can understand the full meaning of our feeling, as well as how to use it to make responsible judgments out in the real world where our lives and other people's lives are at stake. We should always be writing that which makes us feel deeply, that which thrills us and scares us, and that which pushes us to face our darkness on our way to becoming better people. Cognitive function theory says we all favor some functions over others. If you can figure out which functions come naturally to you in both your writing and your life, you will also probably hit upon those you may overemphasize at the expense of the others. This gives you the opportunity to consciously work on enhancing your natural strengths while also boosting those that are naturally less proficient. The more rounded your cognitive experience becomes, the more rounded you can become as both a writer and a person. So I'd love to hear your opinion on all of this. How do you use these cognitive functions as a writer? If you'd like to be part of the Word Player community over on my site and join in the conversation on this subject, be sure to stop by the website at helpingwritersbecomeauthors.com. You can always find a transcript of the most recent podcast and add your voice to the discussion by visiting the first post on the site's homepage. And don't forget that if you're looking for an older post, you can always find those by putting the podcast title in the search field at the top of the right-hand column. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever your favorite podcast platform may be. And if you'd like to support Helping Writers Become Authors, I would totally appreciate it if you'd consider taking the time to leave a quick rating or review on your site of choice. Thank you so much for listening to the Helping Writers Become Authors podcast, and be sure to check back again next week.